Good morning to everyone. Thank you for the water, somebody. Wasn't it wonderful this morning to remember our Lord, to sit at His table, listen to His word, learn about Him. Learn about His great sacrifice and what it means for us, what it means for our security, what it means for our eternity, how He feeds us, how He is our bread, how He's our life, how He's our resurrection. So wonderful, so many wonderful things about our Lord. And we're going to learn about our Lord for eternity. For our eternity, we're going to be amazed that we believe in someone like Him. We're going to see Him how He is. And we're never going to stop learning about Him. And so I want to continue with this idea of learning about Jesus, but maybe switching to the point of learning from Him. Learning from Jesus. Learning from Jesus to such a degree that we acquire, or our hearts become like His. I would like to talk to you this morning how to have the heart for people that Jesus had. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the kind of heart that Jesus had for people? How He viewed people. How He treated people. How He looked at people. I'd like us to read from Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Been learning a lot about the doctrine, some of the doctrines that are important and dear to us, and all the doctrines from the Bible should be important to us. Doctrine is important. But this morning, maybe I'll be switching a little bit to talk about the heart and the kind of heart that the Lord wants us to have for people. Matthew 9, it's a somewhat familiar passage for many. It's the end of chapter 9 of Matthew. We read this. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord for the harvest, to send out laborers into His harvest." When Jesus was praying that prayer, He was thinking of us too. He was thinking of us too. That we would be His laborers sent out into the Lord's harvest. How to have the heart for people that Jesus had. I'm by no means an expert in evangelism. But sometimes believers ask me, and they say, "How do you do it? Could you show me some ways that I can do better in sharing the gospel?" And I'm just so glad when people ask me that. I'm so glad that they're interested in reaching the lost. But you know, I've come to believe that the fundamental issue in sharing the gospel with other people, is to have the heart for people that Jesus had. Methods in evangelism are not as important, are secondary. The prime importance is having the compassion for people that Jesus had. And maybe that's one of the reasons, and explains the reason why new believers are so effective in bringing new people to Christ, because they have the passion for the lost souls. They still have a fresh memory of being lost themselves. And they have a desire to find lost and bring them to Christ. You know, learning about the heart that Jesus had for the people, and he was learning from his Father, Father God. And what do we learn about the Father God in the Old Testament, the people that he had for the people of Old Testament, in the Old Testament? The God of our Bible has a heart that is very tender and compassionate toward all those who are desperate and in need of salvation. In the Old Testament, the Lord God said in Ezekiel 18:23, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God? And not rather that he should turn from his way and live?" That's the heart of God in the Old Testament. Today I'd like to talk to you about how to develop the kind of heart that Jesus had for the people. It is very important, because depending how much our heart is like his will determine our effectiveness for the gospel, in sharing the gospel. It's important to notice the Lord Jesus didn't say, "Follow me and I'll make you the fishermen, and I'll make you effective fishers of men. I'll teach you how to catch people." No, he did not say that. What he said was this: "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Because you see, methods, skills of fishing are only a part of effective fishers of men. Being an effective fisher of men, Jesus was interested in changing their hearts. He wanted these apostles and us today to have changed hearts. He wanted us to follow him and become like him. That's what happens when we follow Jesus. He puts his heart in us. And when we have his heart, then doing his will is a lot easier. One way to learn about the heart of Jesus is to watch him in action. He wasn't just a philosopher teaching great things. No, he was a person that lived for God and lived with passion for people. One way to learn about the heart of Jesus is to watch him in action, how he responds in certain situations as he moves in his mission and moves among the people. The passage that I just read to you from Matthew 9 helps us understand what Christ was thinking about the people. This gives us a clue. If we want to have heart like he had, we need to follow in his footsteps. What is the first thing we notice about the model that Lord Jesus had? We read in verse 35 that he went to all the villages and synagogues, healing every disease. Verse 35 describes us the kind of Jesus who went through all the cities and villages, all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was not avoiding the sick. He wasn't avoiding the needy. He was where the needy people are, where. This shows me that Jesus always looked for ways to be among the people. He always looked for ways to be among the people. When Jesus came to this earth, so he came to be among the people. He did not come so he could hide in a safe place. Or he did not come only to meet those, you know, the best of the society, the most religious people. No. He came to be with all the people. My friends, this is a very effective way of reaching new people. We had to come out of our houses, come out of our offices, and find time for people. Start meeting new people. Do you notice sometimes that you share the gospel with people and they get stuck, you don't know how to get further. And in the past, I would just spend all the time with the same people. That's not the way. That's not the way. It's comfortable. They know what to expect from us. We know what to expect from them. But the Lord wants us to meet new people. We have to find time for people. A while ago, I talked in one church in Poland, and an older man who once was an elder in that church, in that assembly, came to me afterwards. He was already in his 70s. He heard me talk about going to the streets. He told me afterwards that some time ago, he started going to the center of his, not a big town. He said, "I'm old, so I bring a chair and set a little blanket on the ground with New Testament and gospel tracts. I just sit there. And people stop and ask me what I'm doing. Some tell me about all the problems they have. They ask me for my advice on marriage. Sometimes they are in debt and they want my advice on finances. He's amazed that they want his advice, not knowing him very well. He's amazed they want to talk to him." And then he said, "Do you know why it happened that I started going to the streets?" He said, "When I put away watching TV, I had lots of time that I didn't know what to do with my time. And then I started doing this." Going to new people. Going to meet new people. And he realized that people were coming to him. People are desperate. They need shepherds. They need people who will listen to them. And he had so much joy. We have to find time to be with people. This is the point of the incarnation of Christ. That although he was safe in heaven, angels were worshiping him, yet he gave up all this to be one of us and be among the people to reach the lost. So the first thing we learn from the heart of Jesus is that we have to be among the people. How is it with you? How is it with me? How was it last week? How much time did we devote to our work, family, and hobbies? And did we find time for people that do know Jesus Christ? Being among the people means that we will have to take the risk of time, resources, fear that we'll become rejected, sometimes stained, to get closer to others. When I'm on the streets in Wrocław, Poland, or other cities, some of the people come to me and they shake their hands with me. They want to shake hands with me, talk to me, and then afterwards shake hands, or even before, very often. And sometimes I feel like I don't want to shake their hands. They look dirty. I don't know when was the last time they washed their hands. But I'm just glad to be there among them. To tell them about the hope, the only hope that we have. It is not comfortable. But if I want to be like Jesus, I need to be willing to risk my own comfort and be among the people. Sometimes we don't spend time with people because sometimes we think we don't have much to offer. But nothing could be further from the truth Lord Jesus says, we are the light of the world. And when the light comes into and hits the darkness, disperses the darkness, and there's no more darkness, we are the light of the world. And just by being among the people, like this older brother realized, when he's just being there among the people, he was the light of the world. We don't have to produce something in us. We're not special in ourselves, but we have the light of the world, Jesus Christ Himself, who is in us. So it is important to be with people like Jesus was. But it's also important to see people like Jesus did. Looking at people the way Jesus looked at people. We read in verse 36, when He saw the crowds. My friends, Jesus looked at people. He saw the crowds, but among the crowds He saw their faces. He saw individuals. It's interesting that Jesus took time to look at people. That He not only was interested in people who had life in order, but He came to people just the way they were. And He took interest in them. In Luke 7:44, we read the Lord Jesus turning toward the sinful woman. He said to Simon, He looked at her, but He had a word for Simon. He says, do you see this woman? My friends, we often look at people but do not see them. It has happened to me so many times. I look at people but don't see them like Jesus sees them. Do not see their pain, how they cry out in their pain for healing and sense of life. Jesus noticed, Matthew, that despised tax collector. He called him to follow Him. And even had a dinner with Him. He had only 3 years for public ministry, but He found time to be with people. Jesus noticed people like the blind beggar in Luke 18. He heard his cry. Others were silencing him. Yet He stopped and asked that that beggar be brought to Him. And He healed him. He saw a demon-possessed man. He touched lepers and talked to prostitutes. He talked to the prostitutes. He saw people faces. And he was moved. Let's look at verse 36 again. When he saw people, he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. When he saw people, he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. One pastor confessed once, he said, I have to tell you something. I do not see people this way. I often see people as those who are foolish, making one mistake after another. I see people and they bother me. I think there's hope for this pastor. There's hope for us too. There's hope for him since he recognizes his problem and is admitting it. And I hope he comes to the Lord as we come to the Lord and ask us to change our hearts, that people wouldn't bother us. But we would see people like he sees them. You see, this pastor became like the older brother of the prodigal son. And it's a danger for all of us. But it was not like that with the Lord Jesus. Jesus looked at people and he saw what others missed so easily. He really saw what they were going through. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Let us imagine what kind of sheep are those sheep which do not have a shepherd. If I were to ask young people under 15, does the person in Psalm 23, does he have a shepherd? If you know the answer, just do this. Yes, amen. The writer of Psalm 23, King David, he had the shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd act differently than the one who we have described in Psalm 23. The one in Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But the sheep which Jesus saw were always lacking something. The sheep who has a shepherd finds rest in green pastures. But the ones Jesus saw have no green pastures to rest on. Here are the sheep that are harassed by the wild animals. They have no time to rest by the still waters. They're always on the run. They never rest, and they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and they fear evil because the shepherd is not with them. One of my friends asked me to go with him to a hospital. He didn't have enough courage to go visit that man. The man was dying. He was a very known doctor in the city. But the way he lived was terrible. Terrible. He was only concerned with money and adultery. So we went to visit him. Because he was a known person, and he was actually a surgeon himself, the hospital took special care of him. No family visited him very much from what we know. But when we went in, the nurse didn't want us to see him. But finally, she found out that my friend was a friend of the family, so she let us in. But she says, "I just was there a couple minutes ago. He's not doing well. He had bone cancer, one of the hardest ways to die. So much pain." But she says, "If you want to see him, please go in." And she went with us. And when she brought us in, we saw this man who died in the last 2 minutes. She didn't even realize he died. So we were able to see his face. And I tell you, I'll never forget that face. The most terrified face that I ever saw. Looked to me like he died without the shepherd. I'm not sure. But his face was terrible. As if he saw a demon coming for him and telling him, "You come now." I don't know. I just know one thing for sure, that his face was the most terrified face that you can see. We know people who are without the shepherd in our communities, in our neighborhood. This is a terrible way to live. Matthew describes it with two words: harassed and helpless. Harassed literally means skinned. Literally means skinned. This is as if somebody skinned their skin off, and now they are naked and cold and exposed. And the word helpless means to throw or cast out. They were downcast, that is, thrown out of this from the society. They did not mean much to nobody because they had no shepherd. My dear brothers and sisters, if Jesus saw people this way, this shows me that we need to look at people the same way. They're like sheep without a shepherd. If we want to have a heart for people like Jesus had, that means we have to look at people the way he did. There's one more thing: to feel for people like Jesus did. We all have a tendency that we do not want to be hurt, rejected, or taken advantage of. And that is why so many times we do not want to show what we deep inside really feel. But let us observe what Jesus felt when he saw people. Verse 36. When he saw people, he felt compassion for them. And the word compassion literally means the inside parts of our bodies, that is their bowels, the inside parts of our bodies. Sometimes when we feel something very deep, it turns my stomach. This takes place when something bothers us so much that our bodies physically feel the pain and experience pain. I experienced this type of pain when I saw a child crying at the grave of her father. She was only 8 years old. I studied the Bible with her father, and he suddenly, a young man in his early 40s, died. And I was there at the funeral, seeing that 8-year-old, she was so close to her father, and she was just weeping and crying. I was running low on contacts. So one way the Lord showed me to meet new people, lots of new people, was start going to the streets. And one day we're on the streets, we're giving away gospel tracts. And our gospel tracts, you can go to the website, our website, and you can read more, listen more, and you can write. And this one person wrote, she wrote one sentence, "I'm Kinga, and I don't have a beautiful life." The gospel tract said, "Beautiful life and big question mark." It was strange that she only said that. So I wrote her back a little bit. I wrote her 2-3 sentences. And then when she, I guess, figured out she could talk to me, she wrote, not this time 2 sentences, not one, as before. And our conversation, and each time she gained some trust that she could talk on the internet, that is on through email. She can write, and she's not rejected. She kept writing more and more and more until my wife and I met her. Went to visit her. It's interesting, when you're on the streets in Wrocław, Poland, you have access to people from all over the province. They come to this big city. And she was from a small town. There's no evangelical church as we know it. She put that town on the map for us. But after exchange of emails, we went to visit her, and she agreed to meet us. And then when we met her, the whole first hour, she just put her head like this and talked like this. And once in a while, she would look, and she would talk her horrible story. When she talked about her sexual abuse, she was only 18 or 19, I don't know, a couple years ago. When she talked her story, her sexual abuse, her drug addictions, her alcohol, her all these abuses she went through, I thought to myself, this is enough for 10 terrible lives, not one. And then she told us that one time it was just too much for her. Too much, so she decided to take lots of illegal drugs to die, to finish her life. They rushed her to the hospital. Amazing, they were able to save her, and the doctor was amazed. He told her that she was given a second chance in life after what she took. And you know what? She left the hospital, and she thought, okay, I didn't die this way, I'm going to die another way. As soon as she left the hospital, she purposely ran in front of a car who hit her so she can die. And the car hit her hard, and you know what? She didn't die. And then she got the gospel tract. And then we were able to talk to her, and my wife was, when we visited her, I think for the second time, was right before Easter. And my wife says, "Kinga, give your rags to Jesus. He will give you a beautiful robe." These are the last words I remember we shared with her. She's still in contact in some way. I don't know how she's doing, but I tell you, I'm so glad I was on the streets that day. And I'm glad that we visited her. What What is it that makes your stomach turn? This felt Jesus when he saw people who had no shepherd. He did not feel angry. He did not start criticizing them. He was not self-righteous. Was not saying, well, they deserve what they're getting. Sometimes it's easy to feel self-righteous when we see bad people who mess up their lives. We can easily think, they should have known better not to mess up their lives like that. I had that feeling more than once. But this is not the way Jesus felt when he saw people. He was and is the most righteous person ever walked on this earth. And yet he felt the turning of his stomach when he saw people, because he really cared for people. And if we want to have the heart, his heart, we need to feel what Jesus felt for people. Are you concerned about the eternal destiny of your neighbors and your co-workers and your family members? Do you feel the physical pain for them? Do you feel what Jesus felt for the lost sheep? If we want to be effective fishers of men, we not only have to spend time with people, but also look at them and feel the way Jesus did and love them like he did. Are you concerned that people are not getting saved? Jesus says, start praying, verse 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord for the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. Notice Jesus does not say, Father, bring all these people to these 12 disciples. He said that the harvest is so big, there's a great need for more workers. You see, the task is enormous. That everyone is needed. You too, and even I am needed. This is amazing. This is not reserved for just few extra passionate. I want to remind you that we are Christ's witnesses. And people will faster respond to Christ when they see his heart in us. If we do not have the heart that Jesus had, we should pray, Lord, before you send me out, Lord Jesus, give me your compassion for the people. And that calls for close relationship with the Father. Every day, spend time with the Father, God. Let him embrace you first. Let him be the first one to embrace you in the morning. Let him tell you, Son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. Let him tell us how much we, his children, are valued by him. And then we will give, and then he will give us the heart that his son had for the people. Let us learn from our Lord Jesus. Let us have the heart that he had and still does for the people. Because unbelievers will be more convinced and possibly respond to Christ when they see his heart in us. Amen. I don't know if it's the role of the preacher to also pray. Yes. Thank you, Father, for allowing us this morning to remember your Son, Jesus, to learn so much about him. And thank you for allowing us to learn about him, but also you want us to learn from him. Thank you so much for this assembly. Thank you for what you're doing among us, for you're doing with men, those men's meetings, when we gather to learn about sharing the gospel with the lost. Thank you for you doing with us when we gather together here as well at the Family Bible Hour. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this loving community. Thank you for giving us your light, for living inside of us. and you want us to be sent out into dark places. Thank you that your light changes people and your presence. Help us just go to them. Help us to go with the heart that you have, Lord Jesus. Help us to learn from you this morning. Please use us this week, Lord, with somebody who walks this lonely life without the shepherd. Thank you that you want to use us. Thank you that you want to give us this heart. And it's your doing, and it's your power, and it's your love that makes us that way. And I pray that we'll be open this week to be like you, Lord Jesus, to have the heart for people like you did, to see people like you see people. Use us, Lord. Give us the privilege to be among the people and share your love and your truth with them. I pray for all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday and blessed week.